Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, and on Friday, we think about what really matters on the What It Takes Radio Network.
The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Jenios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
Are you at risk of becoming that proverbial deer in the headlights investor? I hope not. We're going to talk about that today on What Really Matters. We start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. This is your host, Peter McClellan. Always a pleasure to speak with you. And we're speaking today again, as we often do, with Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. And Jeff's posted a couple of interesting blogs. He always has interesting blogs, but he's using some photographs of, for example, today there was one of a deer in the headlights. And I can imagine, Jeff, that first off, the investor that becomes like a deer in the headlights obviously kind of freezes and then suddenly is not realizing it, but that light gets closer and closer, and then, bam, you know, there's problems. what happens to the investor, Jeff, that gets that way? What's the correlation? You're talking right now about conservatism bias, and you're not referring to Fox News. You're referring to you're referring to a bias that just says, you know, hey, the water's great, come on in. What are you referring to?
Yeah, conservatism bias is one of the many biases I've been talking about over the last couple of years as I started studying behavioral finance. And it's one that we typically kind of gloss over and move on to the more, you know, important ones like hindsight bias and recency bias and things like that. But
as I
look through the headlines this week and then kind of watch the market just shrug its shoulders at everything that's been happening, it really, you know, sprung out at me. Conservatism bias is failing to adapt to new information. In other words, failing to see that something's changed. You know, in the deer's case, failing to see that there's a truck barreling down the highway that wasn't there when it stepped out into the road, and then just freezing.
Yep.
And then, of course, that turns into a whole bunch of other emotional biases that cause us to make really bad decisions during bear markets and also during the late stages of bull markets. But yeah, it's just something that you see all these headlines out there, and because the market doesn't react instantly, then people think, well, you know, this truck is not coming my way. I'm all right.
Mm. Now, let me ask you, you're talking a lot about all this behavioral stuff, but any particular reason why you're bringing this one out now? I mean, no one knows when the market's going to have its last hurrah and, you know, boom, and then go into a deep dive, but what are you thinking? What's the reason that, or are you just kind of reviewing it as one of the biases?
Yeah, I think it's, well, a couple weeks back, I pulled a video from a year ago I had, I think you had made at one of your seminars where I talked about the specific behavioral biases. And it just kind of hit me where, you know, I'm looking at these headlines and, you know, you look at what has been, you know, some of the things that have been behind the bull market.
Yeah.
First and foremost, the Federal Reserve was not only cutting interest rates down to zero, they were buying back $3 trillion worth of bonds from the Wall Street banks. Well, now we're seeing that the Fed is not only raising interest rates, but they're beginning the process of unwinding that $3 trillion worth of bonds. So now one of the big foundations of the bull market is threatening to go away. And because the market hasn't gone down yet, investors think there's nothing to it. So they're not adapting to this new environment just as far as the Fed goes.
Mm. Okay. So how would you expect them to behave if they were going to truly be, you know, stepping into the freeway here? But what would they be doing as investors? You know, getting away from the deer analogy that I get stuck in my head. But
staying out of the freeway.
Yeah, getting out of the freeway, meaning maybe not jumping in, not pretending that there aren't things to be concerned about.
Yeah, I mean being a lot smarter than a deer. You know, looking at, you know, is this a safe environment right now? You know, is it nighttime or daytime, in the deer analogy? Is it, you know, rush hour or is it the middle of the night? You know, those types of things where you got to look at the environment you're in and how risky it is and if it's something you should be getting into. And from an investor standpoint, taking a step back and looking at all the data and saying, okay, where are we at now versus where we've been, you know, 8 or 9 years ago? You know, we even going back to the election, we've had this furious rally since Donald Trump was elected, and it was based on a whole bunch of things that were supposed to happen economically. And, you know, yes, the House passed, you know, some sort of health care bill on Thursday, but, you know, is it really the be all end all health care bill that we hoped and the way it was cobbled together? My guess would be no. Is it going to hurt us economically? My guess is probably yes. We just don't know how, you know, just like, you know, Obamacare, you know, helped some people and then it hurt a whole bunch of others.
Oh, yeah.
This bill is likely to do a little of both as well, because it's they're still not focusing on the cost of healthcare. They're focusing on how you pay for healthcare, which is a completely different argument. But that can be another podcast we do. But that's something, you know, we were supposed to have all these tax reforms. We were supposed to have infrastructure spending and job creation and, you know, here we are already in May, and we haven't gotten any of that. I mean, it's job creation. Is, you know, we saw a little bit of enthusiasm, and then it slowed down. And, you know, we've no tax cuts, no moving on that. And, in fact, the much-awaited plan that came out last week was, you know, basically campaign ideas. We got to get some details, and the market is pricing in almost a return to the Reagan growth years. You know, I don't think the market believes Donald Trump's 5% GDP growth rate, but it's definitely pricing in 3 to 3.5% growth. And we're, you know, now that we're here clear into May, this means we're not going to see that until at least 2018. Because, you know, just to get something passed that starts to have an impact as big as our economy is, that's 6 to 9 months down the road. And so people jumped into this market thinking we're going to have this strong growth. And so that's conservatism bias. This is different than it was even 3 months ago, and nobody seems to be reacting to it.
Well, I have to agree with you. I had even a very liberal client come in today, and we're just kind of, reminiscing about the Reagan era, and that at least Reagan and Tip O'Neill would have a glass of beer after work and you know, kind of blow off some steam and talk to each other as human beings. And it's just kind of sad there's still this, you know, unbelievable divide. You know, things are so tremendously polarized, and each side blaming each other. I know, and each side's been wrong, and each side's not acknowledged everything. So it's a mess. It's a mess. I don't know how that's going to ever play off. I mean, I'm sure eventually it will. Something will happen that'll bring us together as people, but it seems to be a very divided country, very left, very right. And neither side is respectful of the other, really. So I'm starting to lose hope that Trump will be able to get a lot of these things done. I mean, yeah, he's a smart business guy. I don't know that he's a very astute politician. I think he's astute on sound bites maybe and tweets, but even that I'm starting to question. But I don't know. I just, if it would really change things. I don't mean to get political about it, but it seems like that's the political landscape. Very, very divided still. And
I think we're both, you know, on the same page. We hope we're wrong.
Yeah, hope so.
Because his ideas sound great. But the fact of the matter is, you can't just keep talking ideas. We got to see something. And, you know, I don't know. It just seems like, you know, it's to the point where the market said that at this tipping point where they'll give him a little bit more string. But at some point, you got to produce. And that's, you know, the market is so pricey. It's expecting that 3% growth. And if it doesn't happen, it, you know, it just starts to turn into that kind of cascading effect where, you know, people then all of a sudden the tiniest headline starts factoring in, you know, and they react to the downside, and then every little piece of negative news causes the market to go down, and that's what happens during bear markets.
Yeah. No, it does tend to be that way. But yet it wasn't that many weeks ago your blog was fairly, I don't know, fairly positive about the economy. It wasn't, and you're still not gloomy about the prospects of the economy, but you are saying, you know, these things have not really materialized yet. But you were, I think you were alluding to the fact that we're not really all that bad a shape at this point. Not yet.
Yeah, here's the issue with that. I'm glad you brought that up. The data that was causing my economic models to get really excited and look at that 3.5% growth rate for GDP, almost all those data was called what they refer to as soft data, surveys, sentiment readings, things like that.
Yeah.
New orders, backlogs, things like that. Okay. So we've had a strong pickup in all those surveys, really right after the election. We saw it accelerate, so my models took that into account.
Okay.
What has caused me to kind of dampen is what happened with GDP last week on a year-over-year basis. And again, always ignore that, it was only up 0.7. Well, that number doesn't mean anything. But versus a year ago, we saw the growth rate declined just slightly, or if you went around, it was flat. Mm-hmm. So all that enthusiasm we've seen since the election has not turned into real spending, which does have me questioning, maybe these sentiment readings were a false flag and we're going to be heading, towards slower, if not declining growth if we don't start getting some of the promises done. Because strong sentiment can turn into weak sentiment, which then leads to people really tightening up their spending.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you, and this maybe is this may not fit, but I'm puzzled by when I look, for example, and it seems right now that some of the data that we look at for allocation is now, it seems like international stock is seeming to be more promising. And is that really, I think, just because our stock market has been pushed so high that it's overpriced relative to other stock markets around the world? Or is there genuinely something good happening overseas?
I mean, they did. They got hit, especially in certain emerging markets. They got hit pretty hard, thinking that Trump was going to just come out with guns a-blazing. Yeah. And so the attractiveness of international stocks versus ours definitely is drawing those to outperform a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Growth rates, I mean, I still say it's hard. You'd be hard to find a developed country that's going to grow faster than the United States.
Mm.
Europe will be lucky to cobble together 1% growth.
Right.
Japan's lucky to get 0.5% growth. So it's just a relative strength play where they think, hey, this has been beat up a little bit. The U.S. is overvalued. Maybe we should shift some assets there.
Sure, sure. And that makes sense. I mean, on one hand, it does. So, yeah, I can see that. That's kind of what I felt it was, but I don't know. I'm not quite the economist you are. You seem to have a really good pulse on that side of things, what's really going on. So, at any rate, all right, well, now I know you don't like taking bets, but what do you imagine is going to this time of year? A lot of times you'll come out with the blog that will refute the sell in May and go away, and I haven't seen that yet. But is that coming yet? Because you always say it's actually should be sell in June and go away, right?
I mean, yeah, Rick and I were just talking about that before we went on the air. Yeah. That it's about time for me to roll that data out. Yeah. Probably will be a chart of the week on a Friday. So today's only the 5th.
Yeah.
To our listeners, we'll tease you a little bit. There is some merit to sell in May and go away, but it's not May 1st, as most of the Wall Street people will have you believe. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. All right. Well, on that note, we'll end it here with what really matters. And if you've not explored the merits of active money management, want to encourage you to do so. Contact the 401k Latte Company here in Minnesota, or certainly log on to Jeff's blog. It's semtradersblog.com. And at the 401k Latte Company, we have a tagline that we like to repeat over and over again ad nauseum. And what was it, Jeff? You know what it is.
Invest in a conversation.
Yeah, and do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.